You know, as we draw to close, I hope you'll stay connected with us in some way. Many of you may not have had money to purchase anything. I totally get that. And that's why our ministry tries to make as many free resources as we can available for you. So there's two ways you can get a lot of free stuff, all right? And I'm going to tell you what that is. First of all, if you go onto YouTube, okay, if you don't know what that is, just hang on, okay? But if you go to the internet and you type in YouTube, and then there's a place you can search for Dare for More. We have a channel on YouTube, and everything, all the sessions on there are totally free. Watch them all, okay? They're all there on our YouTube channel. Also, if you do apps, so that's if you have a phone that's smart, all right? And you can do apps on there. If you go to the app store on your phone and you look for Dare for More, there's our app. And in our app is truckloads of free videos, free resources, free everything, all loaded onto that app. Okay, so you can access a lot of things absolutely free. And so all you have to do is just go to the app store, okay, and get that. If you love podcasts, my friend Allison Hale and I, who do the Mercy Jewelry, we have Rooted Deep. So you can go to your favorite podcast, look for Rooted Deep, and you can listen to Allie and I as we walk through what it looks like to live a Psalms 1 life, where our roots are deep so that we are evergreen. And we talk about what that looks like from a woman's perspective. So those are just a few resources. We've got a Facebook page, and we've got some things like that that you can connect with us. Now, a lot of you connect with me personally on Facebook. I'm okay with that, but I promise you none of the good stuff is on my page. I already have time to post on my page. So if you'll go to the Dare for More page, that's where you get all the good stuff. All right. So we would love for you to stay connected with us in any way possible. We would love for you to pray with us. And we would love, if you would like to partner with us, we would love for you to do that. And we've got information on how you can do that on the table. We can't do it without you. So thank you. Thank you for being here. Thanks for just listening and for being so much just jumping into this journey with me. And as we get to the last session, set us up for this last time. But now, we got the ball. If you ever played a little golf, the ball is, believe it or not, golf is my favorite sport. For a basketball coach, that's saying a lot. But I love golf. I love to watch it. And if there's a big tournament going on and I'm on the road on a Sunday afternoon coming home, I even like to try to find if it's on the radio. I know. It's sad. All right. But there's a thing in the moment of golf. You put that little white ball on that tee, and you tee it up. And then you get the club, and you do the little waggle. And you get it set, and you go through your mind where you want it to go, and you get your sights on it. And then you bring it back, and you let it go. And I'll be honest with you, most of the time when I do that, the ball never goes where I thought it was going. But there comes a moment in time in our life when we've got to swing. It's time to take action. It's time to take action. We've talked about it. We've prayed about it. We've made notes on it. And in just a few minutes, out you're going. You're going to get in your cars. Some of you, before you even make it to your car, your messages are going to start to blow up. Mom, where are you? Dad's doing something wrong. Your phone's going to ring. Baby, what are we doing for supper? We're starving. We've had fish sticks and chicken nuggets for 3 days. What are we doing? And everything that you found in this moment is going to be gone. And you're going to be like, I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. I can't be. And the devil's going to do everything he can to say, forget it. It was just a pep rally. It was fun. But this is real life. So right now is our moment to take action. And Romans 8, I think, has a beautiful sister passage in Scripture. I think they dovetail beautifully. I told you, It was a secret. Did any of you think you came up with it? Besides those who snuck in my briefcase and looked at my notes? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Harold has put the ball on the tee for us already. He walked right up here. It's amazing. I've watched God do it almost every session. And he just sat it there. And he just said, all right, girl, swing. So thank you, Harold, for putting the ball on the tee for us this morning. We're ready to go. We're ready to go. Because when I read Romans 8, I see so many similarities to some of the things that are going on in Hebrews chapter 11. Because when we get into Hebrews chapter 11, here's the deal. We find a long list of men and women of God who went through overwhelming obstacles, overwhelming circumstances. They went through so much difficulties. Some of the things that are mentioned in Romans 8. Famine and peril and sword and all of these things. They went through these things. They were tested. They were tried. They suffered. They suffered. They had difficult relationships. They made mistakes. This is not a list of people who weren't real. This is a list of people who were very real. And their stories are told for us throughout the pages of Scripture. But you know what they did? They made up their mind. They made up their mind that God could be trusted through it all. And they took action. And they took action. And I want to walk us through the steps they took. And may we take the same steps that they took to lead us to the same conclusions they reached, to the same end of the journeys that they reached in a way that is so victorious. I want to start by telling us that I know sometimes the odds can seem like there's no way, right? I love history. I love reading about history. I love studying history. It's just something I enjoy. I love reading a historical fiction. I just love that kind of thing. And there's a fascinating story that comes out of the Battle of Gettysburg by a guy by the name of Joshua Chamberlain. Joshua Chamberlain was a colonel from the Maine Regiment at the Battle of Gettysburg. His troops were totally depleted. They were just beaten. And he gathered with the few men. They only had a few men who even had weapons left. They were totally out of ammunition. The only thing they had left was the knives, the bayonets that they attached to the ends of their guns. And so he gathered with his leaders and he said, "Men, what should we do? Because the battle will resume in the morning and Lee will be here. And they're doubling their troops. What should we do?" And the men all concluded, "We should surrender. We don't have enough ammunition. Most of our men are injured or dead. There's so few of us, they'll outnumber us 3 or 4 to 1. They're all so fresh. We're battle weary. We've slogged through. But these men, they're fresh. They're bringing in new troops. We can see them coming in as we speak. We've already lost and we haven't even fought this battle. We should surrender." Joshua Chamberlain said he took a few moments to pray. And when he said amen and he lifted his head, he said, "Gentlemen, let me give you the battle plan. We're not going to surrender. We're not going to surrender. I want you to go back to every one of your groups and I want you to tell them to fix their bayonets. And when I give the call, charge." His men looked at him like he had lost his mind. And they said, "You know you're killing us all." And he said, if we perish, we perish. But we're not going to surrender. We're going to end fighting." True story. The next morning, as the sun began to come over the ridge, Joshua Chamberlain had his sparse men with no ammunition, only bayonets, scattered in place. And as the armies of Lee charged across the hill, Joshua Chamberlain raised his bayonet in the air, ran across the hill, and he said, "Charge!" And his men leaped out over the mounds and came out. Lee's troops were startled. They thought they were fighting against people with no ammunition, and they fully expected a surrender. The word had been that this group was decimated. There was hardly a few soldiers left. And immediately Lee's troops knew this. They've gotten reinforcements during the night. Some other group must have come over. They've gotten ammunition from somewhere. This is not what we planned on. And the generals called for retreat! And these brave men with nothing but bayonets came across screaming charge. While an army that could have wiped them out in moments started to retreat. The story is told within just a few moments. Joshua Chamberlain's men had defeated the group and they surrendered. You say, "Well, that's not my story. I know where you're going with this, and I can just tell you it's not what happens to me." Hang on. Why was this so important? Most historians will tell you that prior to the Battle of Gettysburg, the Southern troops were winning and the war was basically over. But after Gettysburg, everything changed. Gettysburg, most war historians will tell you, was the deciding battle in the Civil War. There's no way Chamberlain could have known. He would go on to be the governor of Maine, and he would receive the Congressional Medal of Honor. You know what he was before he went and started fighting? He was a school teacher. He was a school teacher who just wouldn't surrender. And he said, "You know what we're going to do? We're going to take action. We may not have a lot, but we got a little, and we're going to go with what we've got." And I want to tell you, when we get ready to read this, you're going to see people who, against all odds, said, "You know what? We're just not going to surrender. We're just going to believe God for this. Fix bayonets. Charge." And God does amazing things when we step out in faith. He does amazing things when we step out in faith. And so step number one, when you look at Hebrews chapter 11, and we're getting ready to read some of the verses, but I'm going to go ahead and give you step number one is this. They all believed without seeing. And that is faith. They all believed without seeing. Hebrews 11, 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That word "evidence" is a really big word. It means it's the proof of. It is the proof. This is what it is for us. We're not walking in foolishness. Understand. Sometimes we hear faith and we watch it attached to things that sometimes can appear very foolish. But I'm just going to tell you, there's nothing foolish about real faith. Nothing is foolish about real faith. Our faith is anchored in the person of Jesus Christ. Not in statements that we make or wishes that we have or pictures that we put on our refrigerators. It's in Jesus. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. We look expectantly to Him, who is what? The author and the finisher of our faith. And so what we understand about faith, it is made up of things that are hoped for, believed in. It is the evidence of, it is the proof of things we cannot see. That's our faith. And I can anchor my faith in what God says to be true, even though I can't see it. Many times I can't see it. I don't know. We said last session, we can't see what God is doing. But what are you going to do? Well, God, if you'll show it to me, I'll do it. But I'm not budging till you show it to me. That's not faith. That's not faith. Faith is stepping in and believing God's words are true, what He says is real, His promises are sure, and I step into those things even when I can't see them. So the first step is a faith step, and I promise you, you will not act if you do not believe. You won't act. You're not going to step into action out these doors if you don't believe what we've been saying is true about who God is. And what His Word says. But I'm going to tell you, God is not, He's not intimidated by your unbelief. If you're struggling to believe, get in His Word. Get in His Word. I promise you it's true. Not one person have I ever met who's trusted in Jesus Christ has ever come to me and said, you know, I wished I never did. Worst decision I ever made was trust in Jesus. Nobody has ever come and told me that. Oh, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Amen. Just to take Him at His Word. That is faith. And I promise you, these people that we're getting ready to read about, boy, did they have some of it. In fact, this passage is often called the Hero's Hall of Faith. It is the place where men and women of God who had faith are mentioned for their faith. Let's read the rest of these verses. It says, For by faith, the elders obtained a good report. All right? Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. We're going all the way back to the beginning. The worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It is incredible. God spoke and it was. Another thing I love to study is I love to study the planets and the stars, and I just love to hear, I'm a nerd. Just confess, I'm a nerd. I will go on the Hubble telescope website sometimes. And I'll just look at what the Hubble's seeing. It's amazing. Because the heavens declare the glory of God. They do. And I love it. These scientists are like, oh my word. We just discovered something bigger. A couple years ago, I read a whole article that this scientist was amazed that stars make noise. He said, we've gotten a microphone out there. Guess what? Stars making noise. Well, we knew that. The heavens do what? Declare. They declare. And you know how all that got out there? You know the earth? We're just like a little golf ball compared to the universe. I mean, we're just like this little thing, and you get out there, and you got places like, you got Betelgeuse, and you got all these other huge, I know, it's really a star constellation, believe it or not. All right. You've got all of these amazing star constellations, and you've got all of these things that dwarf us. And you know what God did? He spoke, and it was. By faith, the world was framed by the words of God. Oh, can we not have faith in a God who speaks and galaxies appear? Can we not have faith in a God who speaks and darkness and light are separated? And the moon and the stars appear? And just the voice, and just His spoken word? This is what the writer of Hebrews is telling us. And we understand how the worlds were framed. They were framed through the words of God by faith. Because they weren't made out of stuff. Okay? I promise you, I don't know what you learned in school. All right? But there wasn't some little bubble or something or other floating along and it burped and out we all came. That is not how it happened. God spoke. And it was. And so now, setting that up in context, it begins to walk us through. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. That's back. This is the son of Adam and Eve. We're going all the way back. And they're walking us through. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, but was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony: he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm going to tell you, when we leave these doors, you need to be a diligent seeker of God in faith. He is our victory. If you have missed this weekend, you have been asleep. Go by the sessions and hear them again. I'm telling you, if you've missed it, you've missed it. Don't miss this. God is our victory. That means I diligently need to seek after Him in my life, because He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. Did you get it? Did you get it? And when we come to Him, we believe that He is. We understand who He is and what He can do. And it's in Him that we come through faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with a fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Now, did you get this? Noah built a boat when he had never seen rain. By faith. Do you see? Noah took action by faith. What did he have to do? God said, go build an ark, because it's going to rain. God, what is rain? Drops of water falling from the sky. Oh, we've never seen that before. Well, it's coming. It's coming. So Noah took action on something he could not even fathom. And you know, I mean, as a kid, they put those little flannel graph things on. You know, when I was a kid, we did flannel graph. And they put those little flannel graph pictures of the ark on there. But I had no idea how big it was till I went to Kentucky. You know, I was like, oh, woo, that's a big boat. Can you imagine building that boat and it's never rained? That big of an ark and it's never rained. Noah, by faith. The Bible goes on to tell us, by faith, Abraham in verse 8, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, Abraham took action. What did he do? He left Ur when he had no idea where he was going. Now, I'm just going to tell you, we live in a world of GPS. Our phones will tell us where to go, even if it's not right. They will tell us. They will give us directions. Our cars tell us where to go. Our phones tell us where to go. I mean, you know, I used to travel, when I first started traveling around, I had an atlas in the back seat of my car. What is that? And I'm over here trying to find page 42 to define the detail. I don't need to do that anymore. All I have to say is, hey Siri, where's the closest Starbucks? There are 47 close to you. Whatever it is I need. GPS. Abraham left not even having a clue where he was going. God just said, leave. Lord, where are we going? I'll tell you when you get there. Oh, wow. Can we learn something from that action step? Some of you, I'm just going to tell you, some of you right now, you don't know where God's taking you. You need that kind of faith to step into this action. I promise you, as you read through, some of these people are going to resonate with you in your situation right now. Ask God to show you who resonates with you right now and what action steps you need to take, because we don't have time to unpack all their stories. Okay? Oh, I love this one. It goes on and talks about Abraham, but it also, verse 11, talks about his wife Sarah. Now we know Sarah made a few bad judgment calls, but listen to her, the testimony of her life. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Somewhere between laughing at the tent and delivering Isaac, Sarah understood and she believed in God by faith. Do you know what Sarah took action on? She saw life in what was dead. Oh, come on, some of you grandmas in here. What if God came to you next week and told you you're going to expect a baby in a year from now? I wish you could see what I see right now. Everybody's going, whoa! But see, Sarah had longed for a child. And God had promised. But here's the thing. God didn't deliver the day after He promised. It was years before Sarah conceived and gave birth to a child. But Sarah had, the Bible tells us that she had faith to believe that God could bring life out of something that was dead. Her womb was dead. But God is not intimidated by dead things. He is the resurrection and the life. And boy, I'm going to tell you. God, oh, there's just so many ways we could go here, but I'm just going to tell you what some of us need to have action step of faith right now this morning. We know there's something dead, and we need God to bring it back to life. And we need to step into that in faith. We need to pray in faith. We need to believe in faith and see what God does. I can promise you, God doesn't always answer it the way I pray it. And He doesn't always give it the way I want Him to give it. But He always responds to me. And how will God respond to us? How will He respond? Oh, I want you to be... These are action steps. These people took it. Noah built the boat. Abraham left when he didn't know where he was going. Sarah believed God for a child, the Bible tells us, when there was no way her body was supposed to be able to conceive a child because her womb was dead. These people took an action step of faith. It was the first step they took was a faith step. When they couldn't see it, they believed it. Why? Because God said it. Because God said it. And they believed it. And we know, you say, well, boy, they blew it here and they blew it there and they didn't always get it right. You're right. Aren't you glad we get that part of the story? Because it helps us, encourages us, and it reminds us that even in our own misguided steps at times, God can still work in us and He can still use us. His plan will still go forth. What a wonderful thing. Here's the second thing. The first step they took was a faith step. The second step they took was a step of action. Okay? We understand that was that faith step. And that faith step caused them to respond. But man, I want you to look at this. This, they took action as a step of obedience. And we're going to see this. They just obeyed God. They just obeyed Him. Whatever He told them to do, they just did it. Oh, I just love this. As you read through these people's stories, I want you to look at verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. It was just a step of obedience. A step of obedience by a young mom who just believed God could use her son. Choosing rather, by faith Moses, here we go, look at this, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And when we think about Moses' life, oh my word, I think Red Sea, right? When you think about Moses, one of the first things we think about is that Red Sea. What did he do, man? He gets up there, Pharaoh's coming from behind, right? The sea is in front of him, the wilderness is on one right, the desert is on the other. What is he going to do? God said, Moses, lift your rod. And the Bible tells us that he lifts that staff, and what happens? The waters part. The waters part. He just acted in obedience. You know, I don't know what the conversation was, and I don't know what went through his head. But we don't get any part of the story where Moses says, Lord, this doesn't make sense. Why do you want me to lift my rod? In moments like that, you're like, do what? Lift your rod. See, Moses had already had a training session with that rod. Snake, leprosy. Remember his first little training session at the burning bush? He already knew what God could do with that rod. And so what did he do? Lift your rod. Can you imagine? It's the first aquarium. Whoosh, whoosh. as the children of Israel walk by, ooh, wow, very cool, very cool. I honestly think that was probably only the five-year-olds. I think the parents are like, move it, boys, move it. Incredible. Obedience. Just lift your rod. Just lift your rod. It goes on to tell about Joshua. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Oh, wow. What a crazy battle plan. Joshua, here's the plan. You mighty warrior, you. Walk around one time for 6 days. Don't say a word. And then go back. On the seventh day, walk around seven times. On the seventh time, blow the trumpets, shout, the walls are coming down. I can imagine that Joshua's inner thinking as he goes to decide how to present this to the people. Well, boys, the choir's going to lead the way. Orchestra's falling after that. This is what God said do. And they did it in obedience. And if you will timeline the events, you will see the shout came before the walls came down. In faith. The victory was in that shout. As they cried before the Lord and the walls came down. Oh, there's times, you know, there's just times in our life, I got to be telling you. You know, the Lord said, all right, Reuben, here's your cue. You're going to walk around it. I'm not going to do it right away, but I'm going to tell you I'm going to work. It's time to shout. And I'm like, oh boy, I hope I don't look stupid. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God says, time to shout. In faith. In faith. How many of us are just willing? You know, it's amazing to us, especially as women, I think we really get this. We are all ready to pick it up and go fight. But when God tells us not to fight, just to walk, we're like, what? What? Well, this doesn't seem like I'm doing anything. This doesn't appear like anything is happening. I feel so ridiculous. You know what? God's got a plan. Be obedient. Walk in what He's given you to do today. Shout when He cries, shout. By faith. Watch walls fall. It's what God does. This was the story of Joshua and the walls of Jericho. What an amazing story. But it even gets better. Oh, it even gets better. Look at verse 31. By faith, the harlot, Rahab, the prostitute in Jericho. Are you kidding me? There's a prostitute in the Hall of Fame for faith. Oh, yes, there is. So look at me good, girls. Not one of you women out here, don't you ever say, God can't use me. You don't know what I've done, and you don't know where I've been, and you don't know what kind of woman I... When we give our hearts and lives to Christ, we are new creatures in Him, and He does something in us. And I'm going to tell you, Rahab, I don't know where, how she knew, but I'm going to tell you, Rahab, when those spies got there, she said, this whole place is trembling because of you guys. And this, what did Rahab tell those spies? She said, promise me something. I'll hide you, but you promise me something. Promise me you'll save me and my family. Why would she say that? Because she knew God could. I don't know how she knew, but she knew. And so you know what they told her? Strangest thing. When it happens, get all your family together in the house on the wall. I'm thinking move would maybe be the first step. There was no move. Get your family and gather them into your house on the wall and drop a red cord out the window. And when it comes time, God will save you. And we know the story. Seven times around. Woohoo! Implosion of two sets of walls, except for one. Little section. Can you imagine Rahab and her family as everything is coming down around them? Oh boy. Red cord's out there, right, boys? I can promise you, even sometimes when you have faith, you kind of get a little anxious. Oh, whoo. And when the dust cleared, a harlot and her family were saved. And that woman would go on to be in the line of Christ. Yeah, you should clap. That's good stuff. Oh, by faith, if we would just be obedient, what God could do with us and our families. Your past is not a challenge to God's future for you. It is not a challenge. God is the speaker of the universe, and He can speak into you. He's the forgiver of sins, the cleanser of hearts, and He's the renewer of lives. And I can tell you, there is not one thing you've ever gone through He can't handle. Not one thing. So I'm just going to tell you, get excited for what's in front of you. What's in front of you? Oh, I love this one as well. Not just Rahab. But look at verse 32. And what shall I more say? For time would fail to tell of. And now the list just rolls out. Up to this point, he's been given a little bit of descriptor for each one. But now he says, what? I really don't have time to even tell you about all the people who should be in this chapter who can't be. To tell you of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and of David and of Samuel and all the prophets. Gideon, I love him. I'm just going to tell you, if you ever feel like a wimp, read Gideon. He's hiding, trying to thresh some grain out in the wine press. He's down here, he's hiding. And God comes to him and says, Almighty man of valor. No one down here like that. You don't understand him. I'm the least of the least of the least of the least. I mean, my family, we're like, you know, like the least of all of them. And then I'm the least of the least of all those. Wrong guy. God says, no, right guy. Right guy. And what does he do? He gives him some action to take. Go tear down your daddy's altar. And then every step beyond that was action step after action step after action step after action step. Go gather. Go send home. Go up against the largest army ever known to mankind at this point with 300. Oh, and don't forget your lanterns. Don't forget your candle. And we read these things and we're going, seriously? The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. We win. No one ever felt more like a more unusable person as Gideon. Lord, I don't know who you got Mighty Warrior all mixed up. But you know what? God sees in us what we're going to be, not what we think we are. Amen. Oh, He sees in us what He can do in us. And so I can't speak for Him today. I wouldn't try, but I will tell you this. I just look out over this audience and I'm like, Mighty Warriors. Mighty Warriors. Oh, Mighty Women of Valor. Oh, Mighty Women of Valor. And I know some of you are like, no, wrong pew. Wrong pew, wrong girl. Oh, no. Right pew, right girl. It's time to just walk in obedience and let God fight the battle. Come on, girls. We get candles better than anybody else. We know how to light a candle. We know how to get a picture. We know how we can shout. And I love this I love verse 16. I'll go back to it. It says, "For they," it talks about Abraham, but he says "they," and it says, "But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God." Oh, Harold, I just got to tell you, I don't want God to ever be ashamed of me. I want Him to be proud to say, "That's my kid. That one right there with a candle. That one right there that doesn't feel like she's enough. That one right over there that's just struggling through obedience right now and she can't see it. That's my girl." Oh, I want to hear Him say, "Well done." Do you? Oh, me too. I want this to be said over my life. And God said this over these people. Oh, God, may it be said of us. May it be said of us. Oh, and here's step three. You're going to love it. Step one was faith. Step two was action. Step three, they accomplished the impossible. They accomplished the impossible. No fives, no sixes. No sevens, no eights. We're looking for a 10 kind of win. These people were more than conquerors. They did the impossible. Not because they were perfect, not because they never got it wrong, not because they never stumbled, not because they never struggled, not because they weren't real, not because they were just some kind of super Christian. None of that at all. Because they just walked in faith and walked in obedience and they just did what God told them to do. And they accomplished the impossible. Look at verses 32 again. As we look through here, look at verse 33. "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, and not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented." See, if I'd read those verses to you first, you see, I want to make sure you understand, this is not the promise of an easy, cush life. But I want you to read the next verse. "Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." Don't miss this. Every one of these people mentioned knew there was a promise of a Redeemer. But they responded in faith, never seeing that Redeemer. They never saw the completion of the promises fulfilled. But they walked in faith anyway. Girls, I want to tell you, if they can do it, we can do it. Because we saw Him come. He came the first time. He died. He resurrected. And now He's promised, "I will come again. Amen. And when I come again, He's going to bring us to Himself. That where He is, there we will be also." He's coming! May He find us faithful. Oh, it's not always cush. I mean, you read this description, it's horrendous. And when you look back through the history and the martyrs and the saints and the way these people suffered for the sake of Christ, it's unbelievable. And the Bible says the world's not even worthy of those people. I'll tell you what, I don't want the world to be worthy of us either. in this time will the world say? Can God speak over our lives and say, you know what? This generation is not even worthy of these people. They're willing to go through the fire. They're willing to go through the flood. They're willing to go through being tormented, sawn asunder. They're willing to go through it for my name's sake because they know what I say is true. And right on the other side, oh, this is so good, right on the other side of our last breath is eternal victory. Right on the other side of our last breath. Just on the other side. This is just so good. Because look at verse 40. God having provided some better thing for us that without us should not be made perfect. Oh, God had a plan. You know, God knew. You know why God didn't show them the promise? Because He knew we were coming. And He had a plan that included me and included you. Aren't you grateful for that? Amen. His plan included us. And so girls, now is our time. This is our generation. This is our moment. He has not returned yet, but He is coming. And sometimes I think we miss some of the most important little things in Scripture because of the chapter's breaks. And we kind of separate the thought. But as I close, I don't want to separate the thought. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these things, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore? Because of all these things, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What cloud of witnesses? These guys. I believe with my whole heart, if we could somehow look into the heavens where we cannot see right now, that there would be a cheering section for us. People, Moses, who's up there leaning over right now and trying to get some of your attention and says, come on, girls, pick up the rod. Stretch it out. God will part the waters. Gideon, who says, come on, you are a warrior. I know you don't think you are, but it's crazy how it works out. Sarah, oh, believe that God can bring life from dead things. This great cloud of witnesses. And he says, because we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, 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 this is just so good. We got to trust in girls and we got to walk out this door. I don't know what you need to apply your faith to, but you right now, some of you right now, you know what it is. And you need to walk in faith. Step one, faith. Some of you, you already know what God's promises are. You just need to start being obedient. Be obedient. And what happens? Step three. Watch God do the impossible in your life. Watch God do the impossible in your life. Things you never dreamed you could do through the power of God. God gives you the ability to see, experience, and do. And I have had the joy and the privilege of doing that. The world was not worthy of them. May it be so said of us. There's a great cloud of witnesses. Go on, come on. Come on! You can do it! Come on! Come on! And what I want to tell you is you can do it! But not because you got it together. Not because you don't have a past. How are we going to do it? Because we're going to set aside every weight and every sin that so easily sidetracks us. And we're going to get our eyes on Jesus. The author and the finisher of our faith. And for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross for us. He despised the shame for us. He bore our pain. He bore our shame. He walks with us. He is with us. We go out, not alone, but we go out with Him. And you can walk out this door the way you came in, or you can walk out of 10. You can walk out this door the way you came in, or you can walk out a conqueror. Because of who Jesus is. Close out with me one more time. You did such a great job. But let's pull it one more time. And let's turn our eyes towards Jesus. You ready with me? This is our prayer. You ready?
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
God, go with us. Be mighty in our lives. Give us the faith to believe that You're bigger than the box we've put You in. And help us to go out here believing in faith as these people did. God, we surrender. Now lead us on. Amen.